Okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and do our Bible study, and then we'll come and do the prayer time. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. We've been looking in the last two messages from this book, how that David, who is, we know, already the next anointed king of Israel, he's on the run from Saul. You would have thought that Saul, after he'd been chastised by Samuel and told him, hey, look, God's done with you. You may have been anointed at one time, but you're going to lose the kingdom. You would have thought he would have abdicated the throne, right? You thought he would have stepped back, stepped down, and said, look, you know, God says I'm not qualified anymore, so I'm just going to step off and let the new anointed king take the rule, who was David. But Saul is obsessed with hunting David down and killing him. I guess he thinks somehow if he kills David that he's going to change the will of God. No, the will of God is for David to be king. God has already told Samuel to anoint David king. He's already anointed him, and it's God's will. This man who's the man after God's own heart, it's God's will for him to rule over Israel. But Saul isn't having any of it. He's obsessed with hunting David down and taking his life from him. In fact, he is so much so, we'll see that tonight, the thing that he should have been doing as king, and that is fighting Israel's enemies and protecting Israel's borders, he doesn't do it. He's obsessed with David, finding David. David, he's on the run. Nevertheless, he catches ear that some of the inhabitants of Judah are being oppressed by the Philistines, and he goes and does something about it. So he was acting kingly when Saul was not. Now, this chapter encourages all of God's servants who, like David, may feel vulnerable to attacks by people who don't fear the Lord. And that's what we see. We're going to see that the people that David encountered tonight, that we see that we're going to look at tonight in the Scripture, they feared Saul, the repercussions from Saul. Remember Nob? Remember how Saul has already wiped out 85 priests and wiped out really the city of Nob. And they're afraid that what has happened to Nob, if they in any way indicate they got any positive feelings about David at all, that's going to be their fate. And you can understand that from a human standpoint. From a godly standpoint, what should they have done? Well, this is the man after God's own heart. This is the man that came and we're going to see, this is the man that came and rescued us. And they were getting ready to turn him over to Saul. After being rescued by David. Let's begin with verse 1. We'll just read it as we go along. How about that? 1 Samuel 23, verse number 1. We see it says, then they, sounds like the news broadcast, doesn't it? You know, they said, who's they? Well, we're not told. Might be the beginning of CBS and NBC and ABC back here. But it said, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Keilah, not Keilah. Keilah. They robbed the threshing floors. So here, while hiding out in the forest of Herith, remember we saw how the he was told by the man of God to leave and go back to Judah. He was and he's in the forest, hiding in the forest there in Judah, forest of Herith. And we see that David got news that some of his fellow people of Judah, the folks in Keilah, were under attack by the Philistines. And these Philistines were in the process of robbing their threshing floors. This was an important thing. We don't have threshing floors, but that was the place of commerce. That was the place that, I mean, that's where the grain was beat out. That's where the grain was stored. and you depended upon that grain for the year. You know, you weren't always threshing wheat. You had to do it in season. And you did it in season, and they would take and store it there. And so the Philistines decide to go and to fight against Keilah and to rob the threshing floors. Look at verse 2. It says, "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Now we see David doing something here that is lacking in Saul. David asked the Lord what he should do. You'll not find Saul at this point in his life. He may at one time have asked the Lord what to do, but he's no longer asking the Lord. He's just doing what his flesh wants to do. And his flesh wants to kill David. And he's going to do whatever he has to fulfill the lust of his flesh in killing David. And so David asked the Lord what he should do. And the Lord answers David's inquiry here. And I want you to remember that Abiathar, we saw last week, Abiathar the priest, remember there was only one priest that escaped the city of Nob. 85 priests were killed along with all the rest of the people in the city. Only Abiathar had escaped, and he joined David. And we'll see that he brought with him the ephod. And we saw in previous lesson, remember, the ephod contains the Urim and the Thummim, and by use of that, the priest would discern the will of God. And I think we'll see that that's probably what's being used here, because it involves the priest. Now, look at verse number 3. And by the way, that Urim and Thummim means lights and perfection. Remember that? Lights and perfection. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Now, remember that David's army of 400 was made up of those who had previously been with Saul. And they joined him, they joined up with David because they were in distress. They didn't like what they saw in happening in Saul's kingdom. Some of them were in debt, and some of them were just discontented. And so they joined up with David, and we found that out in chapter number 22, in verse number 2. But because they were deserters from Saul's army, understand they are deserters. His whole army is made up of people who have forsaken Saul, and they've come to fight with David. So he's got 400 deserters. They were already in fear of Saul and the rest of his army just from being in Judah. Now we see that their fears are increased, no doubt exponentially, because they're going up against the Philistines. Remember, we've seen in previous chapters how the Philistine army outnumbered even Saul's army, right? And so that's the reason why they're shaking in their boots. They're not real keen on just being where they're at. And they're really not keen about going up against the Philistines and fighting them at this particular juncture. So, for the benefit of his men, look at verse number 4. It says, "Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So, for the benefit of his men, David inquired of the Lord yet again, and he got the same answer. The answer is the same as before, but with the added point of encouragement that should have been understood. The Lord says, I will deliver the Philistines into thine hands. So, in verse number 5, they obey the Lord. Okay, the Lord says, go. Verse 5 says, "So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." So we see here David and his men obeyed the Lord, and the Lord gave them the victory. It says that David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. He led the charge. Actually, the Lord used him. He was the instrument that God used to save the Keilahites. I guess that's what you would call them. But he used them to save them. And I don't want you to miss here, David is acting as the true king of Israel. He's protecting the borders and people of Israel as God's anointed king. And don't miss the how God provides for David here by giving them the cattle. Remember, he don't have a budget. You know, he's already had to go to the, when he was in Nob, remember how they ate? He had to get some of the bread that came out of the holy place there, the showbread, and the priest gave that to him and his men to eat. They don't have food. He got one weapon. Huh? Yeah, Goliath's sword. Except for the sticks and stones, I guess they picked up on the side of the road. I don't know what they're fighting with, but nevertheless, God allowed them to do this. But don't miss how God provided for them when they just obeyed God. God provided for them. Now we see verse number 6. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. So basically, David, before he left the forest there, he inquired of the Lord with Abiathar. The battle's been fought, and now Abiathar joins back up with David. Okay, so he's coming on down now that the battle is done. This lone priest, Abiathar, joins back up with him, and he brings with him that ephod, which has the Urim and the Thummim in it. We know it has that because of the book of Leviticus. It talks about how it's got that in there. Now, look at verse number 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand. Oh, don't kid yourself. That's the first thing that popped in my mind when I read that. Don't kid yourself, Saul. God's not delivered him into your hand. Saul had some sympathizers that let him know David was in Keilah. And look at how Saul interprets that news. This kind of foolishness is not reserved for Saul. We still see it today. We see it in pastors who have disqualified themselves from the pastorate, continuing to go along like just nothing's ever happened, and like they're not disqualified, and some people are going to follow them, going right along with them, and think, oh, they're man of God. No, they're not a man of God anymore. And you say what you want to say, they're not a man of God. God's disqualified them from the pastorate, and they continue to try to do their own thing. They're pastoring in the flesh, and God had already told Saul in no uncertain terms through Samuel that he was done with Saul. Now, that was coming from Saul was what? The Word of God, right? We've got the Word of God that says what the qualifications are for a pastor. A pastor violates those qualifications. What does God's Word say? You're done. You're done with the pastorate. Don't do it. But Saul refused to accept what the Lord had said, tried to carry on the kingdom on his own, just like the same way today we see a lot of people call themselves pastors, try to continue on. They continue on in the flesh. And on top of that, people follow them. And it's wrong. You say what you want to. You can't go against the Word of God and expect to be successful. On top of that, Saul caused 85 priests of the Lord to be murdered along with all the inhabitants of the city of priests. Listen, God is not on Saul's side in any shape or form. He's fooling himself the same way that people are fooling themselves today to think they can violate God's word and God's going to be on their side. Not going to happen. Verse number 8. Well, let's finish reading verse 7. Verse 7, it says, it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hands, for he is shut in. Okay, there was only one entrance to Keilah. for he is shut in by entering into the town that hath gates and bars. So he hears this, and he goes running to Keilah. All right? And it's verse number 8. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. He thinks he's got him cornered. Thinks he's got him holed up. That he's got him. All he's got to do is just get there. Saul gathered his army, heads there to do David and his men in. Look at verse number 9. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, bring hither the ephod. Now why was he getting him to bring the ephod? With the Urim and the Thummim. Okay? He's wanting to inquire of the Lord. Look at verse 10. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Now, God knows what would happen in any instance, okay? And if David had just decided to stay there, well, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fight. God's already told him what's going to happen, okay? So that's a what-if scenario. What if David had just stayed and fought? Well, the Lord told him what would have happened had he stayed and fought. David knew how Saul was, so he inquired of the Lord here again. And I want you to know that David, had he just trusted his flesh, he may have thought that he and his men were safe there in Keilah. I mean, you would think that you were safe, right? You just delivered these guys from the Philistines. You would think, hey, they're going to be with me and they're going to fight for me, right? The flesh would think that. I mean, you would think in your mind and you would hope that the people would do the right thing. Any reasonable person would have thought so. Good thing that he went and asked the Lord, though. David seeks the Lord's counsel on two counts. He asks two questions. Is Saul coming down here? And will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men to Saul? And the answer was yes on both counts. No doubt the Keilahites had heard of what Saul did to Nob and totally wiping it out for what he erroneously perceived as aiding and abetting the fugitive David. Remember, Doeg lied. Ahimelech had no idea he was aiding and abetting a fugitive. Yeah. He did it unwittingly. Saul didn't care. You know, he wiped him out, wiped 85 priests total out, and then wiped out the town, period. Look at verse number 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, now notice he's gone up in the time that we've read here from 400 to 600. So 200 more deserters have joined him. Okay, so he's increasing in his army. Got a little army, but he's increasing here. And David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. In other words, he quit going. He said, well, it ain't no sense in going anymore there to that particular place. Look at verse 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. God was on David's side. We see here, look at verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. So he's back in the woods, but he's in a different woods than where he was at before. So David and his men, they left Keilah for the wilderness, And Saul held up from going to Keilah, but he did not hold up on his pursuit to find and to kill David. He's still obsessed at this point with madness. I mean, that's all you can tell it. You know, he's just crazy. He's let this affect him so bad that he's not using good sense. And so he's desperate to kill David, but the Lord is protecting him. Saul sought him every day, it said there in verse 14, but God delivered him not into his hand. You know, David had a hedge of protection about him because he obeyed the Lord, because he was a man after God's own heart. Well, let's take a look at verse 16. We see Jonathan again. Verse 16. It says here, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. In other words, Daddy knows his days are numbered and that you're going to eventually rule, but he ain't accepting the fact. Verse 18, and they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So we see Jonathan going into the woods to encourage David. Don't you think it interesting that Jonathan could find David, but his dad couldn't? We see that this is the very last recorded meeting between David and Jonathan. This is it. And Jonathan was an encouragement to David at this time. Let's look at verse 19 to 20. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down, according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Well, we see here that the Keilahites were not the only ones willing to rat out David and his army and give them over to Saul. These Ziphites were willing to do the same thing. Again, I think it's a matter of everybody's heard what, you know, hey, Saul's gone crazy. You better be careful what you do. You know, we heard what he did to Nob. And I think Ziphites are the same way. Look at verse 21. It says, and Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord. Can you see that Saul is still living in self-denial here? I mean, he's thinking that these folks are doing the Lord's work because they're going to deliver David over to me. I mean, that's what he's basically saying here. Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know, and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. So Saul's living in self-denial. He still thinks that the Lord's on his side. He took it upon himself to use God's name to bless those who saw his side of the issue here. They saw life his way. So we see his arrogance here, and it's very stunning, isn't it? What's scary about this is that Saul had become so convinced that evil was good that he could invoke God's blessing on evil. Well, David's God's anointed. He takes he tries to go after, he's going after God's anointed man. Said, what, Saul's anointed too? He's lost his anointing. Now we'll see later on, David still recognizes that anointing and he refuses to touch him personally. He's placed him over in God's hands. Okay? But really, Saul has lost his anointing. The true anointing. I mean, yes, he was anointed. There was a time when he was anointed, and we saw what the Spirit of God was on him, right? Remember the time we saw the Spirit of God was on him? No more. The Spirit of God's not on him right now. That's different than it is in our day and time. The Spirit of God can be on us, indwelling us, but yet we not be full of the Holy Spirit, and nobody can tell that we got the Spirit on us. But here, the Spirit would go on someone and come off of someone, and that was the way that it was during the Old Testament days. But, you know, having other people support him like this was like pouring gasoline on a fire. You ever poured gasoline on a fire? I mean, that's the way it was. Look at verse 24. It says, and they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain of the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. I don't know who they is that's giving David all this information, but it said, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee, and come for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place, that big long name right there, that means the Rock of Divisions. Okay, so a lot easier for me to just say the Rock of Divisions, because that's what it means. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds at Engedi. You know, I don't know if this is funny to anybody else, but it strikes me as being humorous. Saul and his army on one side of the mountain, David and his army on the other side of the mountain. It reminds you of a cartoon. Remember the cartoon? You know, they're going around the mountain, you know, and the opposite groups on the other side, you know, and they're going this way, and they're looking around that way, and they come around here this way, and they're just going back and forth like that. That's the picture that I see right there. He's trying to get a hold of David, and David's on the other side of the mountain. And God's moving him back and forth. As Saul's moving back and forth, God knows what Saul's position is, and he moves upon David's heart to make the adjustment. And it's just comical to me to look at that. Saul, for all his manipulation and his espionage, and his political maneuvering, still couldn't find David. He has to drop his pursuit to go put down a Philistine invasion. I mean, he's already been showed up one time by David. You know, probably in the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, you know, David went and he picked up some extra men when he fought the Keilites. Maybe I better go put down this invasion. And so David and his army left the area to dwell in the strongholds of Engedi. But we'll see in the next chapter that the pursuit has not really ended. It's just been put on hold by Saul. He's still obsessed with David. Now, I got some more things that I want to say about this chapter, but we're going to cut off right there because it's more than what we can handle tonight. We're going to come back and look And I'm going to give you a little outline. We'll see how God delivered David. We'll see what David did while he trusted God. We'll see how David received strength in his trials. And we'll see another psalm that David wrote. Remember, we've been looking at the psalms that he wrote during this period of time. We'll see another psalm. Psalm 54 was written during the time that... They're around verse 11 or 12 when he was trying to figure out what was going on. We'll take a look at it, and we'll see how that David received strength in his trials. Okay? Let's put a stop up there, and we'll come back next week, Lord willing. Okay?